Okay, welcome to social media. And one thing I decided a year ago is there's one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get to introduce Jim Miller. I knew Jim when he was just 10 years old. And my first long period of time with him was going on a fishing trip with he and his dad. A year later, his dad became a Christian. And this isn't part of my script, but I'll just tell you, he died 2 years ago. With about as much faith as anybody I've ever known dying. And that's something I'm sure he's proud of, just his father. But Jim, he went to Harding University and then went to graduate school and came back. And he was nominated a distinguished professor a couple years ago at Harding. He's now the head of the communications department at Harding. And just a good dude. And I'm proud of Jim, proud of what he has done. He's got a wonderful wife, Sarah. They have two children, Laura and
Grant.
Yeah, that's it. That's still his name. And I enjoy seeing some of his stuff he puts on social media. He is a social media guy. He's taught some people in high places how to use social media effectively. And he's our guy for this. And so before he starts, come over, Jim, I'll have a prayer for you. God, thank you so much for Network 127. I thank you for Jim coming and offering his wisdom and expertise and knowledge with social media. I thank you for his life, his commitment to you, and how faith is just such an important part of what he does. And I ask you to bless him as he teaches us how to be more effective in using social media and our agencies. In your son's name, I pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Okay, appreciate it.
I tell people a lot who know Steve Autry that if there is one person other than my mom and dad who is responsible for any good in me, it's that man back there, Steve Autry. So having him introduce me today is a great honor. He's a wonderful blessing to many people. Good morning. I'm excited to be here with you guys today to talk about a topic that is really important, but also really sort of overwhelming, okay? And that is social media. Before I get to that, I want to say that this conference and the agencies and organizations that you represent are very near and dear to my heart. I was adopted. I was adopted when I was about 6 weeks old. I was adopted from a Catholic organization here in St. Louis. My parents were Catholic at the time. And I was born to a young mother, I believe she was about 16 years old, who decided to have me, which I'm thankful for, and then give me up for adoption. And I was blessed beyond measure to be adopted by my parents. My mom just celebrated her 75th birthday on Saturday, so I came up a little early and spent some time together. And my parents, through a journey which really is connected in many ways to people in this room, my mom and my dad, through a long journey, eventually left the Catholic Church, found the Mid-County Church of Christ here in St. Louis. My mom started studying with Laura Hayes, Laura Hines Hayes, who's back there. My mom started studying with her when I was probably in the, third or fourth grade or so. She decided to follow Jesus. And then my father wanted nothing to do with religion for a very long time, until I was about 16. And he became a Christian. And I did just about a year later, a year after him. And so, because of that, because of Steve, Laura, all of you, the agencies and organizations you represent, this is a special group of people. You are doing very important work. And with the important work you do, you probably have been assigned, or you are in charge of assigning, who is going to do social media. trying to do social media on your own right now yourselves. Okay? Yeah. How many of you are assigning it to somebody else? Okay. All right. I want to say as we begin today that most organizations are in the position that you're in. Most nonprofits, and even a lot of small businesses. Okay? They're in the position that you're in, which means that you know it's important to use social media. But you don't have a lot of training in it. You don't have a lot of expertise. And in some cases, you really don't even know what you're doing. But you know you have to do it. Okay? When I think about that, I think about this cartoon. You can see that. Why isn't social media magically solving all of our problems? Okay? And that's how we often think. Okay? We think if we start using Facebook or Instagram or whatever, that suddenly our problems will all be solved. Magically, everything will start to work better. And I just remembered I'm supposed to be wearing this. I'm going to put this on. She gave me this earlier and told me to put it on, and I did, and then I realized it was recording while I had it on, and I was doing all sorts of things. And so I took it off. And so this is where a lot of us are. We think, goodness, we need to be on social media because it's going to solve whatever problems we have. It's going to help us be more successful. But we don't really have a plan for it. We don't really have any objectives for it. We just post content. And so today, what we're going to do in three sessions is we're going to look at, first of all, in this session, sort of the landscape of social media. What's out there, especially in the nonprofit world? What do things look like? What are the benefits? What are the challenges? What are some of the tools, maybe, that we can use to be more successful? So that'll be the first session. In the second session, we're going to look at some current trends. We're going to look at what some nonprofits are doing with social media. We're going to look at some organizations that are affiliated with us, organizations that look like us, and see maybe what they're doing. And then in the third session, the one that I think will be most useful to you is we're actually going to make a plan. Okay? We're going to sit down together, and we're going to craft a plan that you can take home with you. All right? And so I hope that today, the things that I say, the contributions that you make, and ultimately what you take home with you when we leave here from the third session, I hope that will jumpstart you into doing some more meaningful and more intentional social media work. When I think about that cartoon that I showed you a minute ago, I'm going to see if this works. I'm not sure it does or not. It does. When I think about that cartoon that I showed you a minute ago, I think about why often social media does not solve all of our problems. And there are many reasons for that. One of my favorite cartoonists is from The Market Cartoonist. This is Tom Fishburne. And he talks about the seven deadly sins of social media marketing, and we're all guilty of these. Okay? We're all guilty of these. We know the seven deadly sins, right? The first one being lust. And so here's a social media marketer. Let's pay for followers to pretend to like our brand. I don't even know if you knew you could do that. But you can pay to have followers follow you. Okay? You can pay to get followers. That's not really a great way to do it. Okay? But you can do that. There is a way to do that. Slothfulness, you know? We can treat all social networks the same. So we've got six of them. We're going to do the same thing on each one of them. It doesn't matter what platform. It doesn't matter what the goals are. We're just going to do whatever because that's the easiest. Okay? We relate to these. I know we do. All right? Gluttony. We'll stuff everyone's feeds with spam. Okay? We will email people four times a day. Right? We will post the same content multiple times a day, and so that people will become overwhelmed with what we're doing. We're gluttonous with our content. Or pride. We are awesome, please retweet. You know? We are awesome, please share this over and over and over.
We're prideful. We're greedy. We are awesome, as is this sale. So go support our organization. And we post fundraising efforts every few hours. Or we're envious. Let's hijack whatever is trending out there on social media. We're going to talk about how that's possible today. We're going to talk about how we can get some traction with our social media by looking at what's trending on social media and then tap into it. But we need to be careful with how we do that. And then finally, wrath. Why is no one engaging us? Let's talk louder, right? Let's shout more because no one is looking at our content. No one's commenting. No one's liking. We're going to yell louder, all right? Those are the seven deadly sins of social media marketing, according to Tim Fishburne. And we're going to talk a little bit about these as we go today and as we think about how we can do our jobs better. So, my first question, I'm going to show a little video as we begin. My first question to you is the question posed on this video, and that is this all just a fad? Is this really that important? Is the social media connection that we have with our audiences, is that really valuable? So I want you to think about that question as we watch this video, which there have been versions of this coming out for the last several years, and this is the updated version from a year or so ago. Oh, hold on. Well, I don't know why that didn't show up. Well, now I've lost everything. Where's my tech help in here? Do we have a tech? There you go.
This is scary.
I know. I lost everything now.
That's all. Yeah, it makes me feel better. You have problems too.
Yeah, I know.
Every time.
Well, while we're waiting on that, let me ask you a few questions as we get started. Just give me a show of hands, and maybe we can talk to each other for a minute about the different social media networks you are using. How many of you are using Facebook? Okay, that's almost everybody in the room. How many of you are using Instagram? Okay, much fewer in the room. What about Twitter? How many of you are using Twitter? Okay. All right, good. Now, those of you who are using Facebook, let's start there. Those of you who are using Facebook, how would you define or how would you explain the way that you are using Facebook? Is that working? Stay with me for a second.
Okay.
Jody's going to stay here for a minute. I'm going to see if I can play this video.
I can tell you how I use it.
Please do.
I only use it if I have a plan.
Amen.
So I have a schedule of, like, we have three different departments. I have adoption 1 week, foster care 1 week, counseling 1 week, and I make them give me posts that is relevant to what's going on. And then when I have events...
See if you can make that work.
Well,
it didn't show up.
Then
so.
When I have events, that's the other thing. Yeah.
While you pull that up, so with Facebook, a plan, okay? It's very important. How else are you using Facebook? How else are you using Facebook? Good. Okay, excellent, excellent. So planning it out for a week, all right? So we've had two people mention that, which is so, so valuable, all right? And that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time on in the third session today, is for those of us who don't have a plan, creating one. For those of us who do have some plans, digging down deeper and trying to get more value out of what we're already doing. So you have a plan, and you said, what kind of things do you post? Okay.
Something happening amongst our staff.
Yeah. So events.
On a birthday, that might be someone switching roles, whatever. And then job opportunities, obviously. Fundraising, that's my bag of tea. So,
right. Yes. Well, that's all of our bag of tea, right? That's what all of us need to be doing is fundraising. That's critical to our success. So yeah, okay, good. What else for Facebook? What else are we doing? And then I'm gonna hear from Instagram. Yeah. Okay. Good, okay. So thanking donors, thanking volunteers, thanking people who are engaged with our work. All right, good. What about Instagram? What are we using Instagram for? Those of you who raised your hand, there are very few of you who use Instagram, but how are you using Instagram, those of you who do?
It's generally just a repost of the same content. It's just,
okay.
I think there's something called Buffer we use that mm-hmm. just posts the same thing.
Yeah. So the same thing that goes on Facebook, you're posting to Instagram. You're using a social media management tool, Buffer. Some of you probably know about. We'll talk about some of those tools in just a little bit. So yeah, using Instagram to do basically the same things that we're doing on Facebook. Okay? What else? Yes?
Using our Instagram more like what Daniel was saying for groups, you know, hey, who's going on campus. I find the youth uses the Instagram more than Facebook. And so that's where I can connect to them and, you know, hey, thanks for being on campus, thanks for doing this, thanks for being a part of us.
Good. Okay. All right, good. That work? You're the man. You're the man.
Nice help from our friends.
I'm telling you, that's great. Okay, we're going to watch this video as we think about, is this even important? I want you to pay attention to some of the facts that are presented here, and then we're going to talk about them. So that video has been updated over the last several years. It's been coming out, I think, since 2011. What are some things that you saw in there that struck you? What are some things that you saw in there that you thought, I either didn't know that, or that's important for whatever reason? What struck you?
The news is going to find you.
Okay, yeah.
And your products are going to find you.
That's right. Information finds us now, okay? And that's largely true today, that it's finding us. We don't even have to search for it a whole lot. I mean, we still do, of course. But much information finds us, okay?
Just think about it, and all of a sudden you have ads on Amazon.
That's right, yeah. You just think about it. Next thing you know, it's an ad on Google for you, okay? What else? What else struck you about that, Laura?
X and Y generations don't really use email very much.
Okay, right, yeah. Certainly true in the college setting where I am. Now, they are required to use their university email address. We tell them, the university tells them that all official communication will come through their email address. But other than that, they don't use email very much at all, okay? It's all social media, texting, Snapchat, okay? So yeah, that's very important as we think about who we're connecting with our audiences and how we're connecting with them.
Yeah, so a lot of that different social media modes have different audiences.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, which is what we're about to talk about in a few minutes. That's exactly right. What platform, where are the people that we are trying to reach? What platforms are they on? Okay. What else? Anything else from the video that you saw that was particularly compelling to you? What's that?
For LinkedIn.
Yeah.
We try to use most of our
Thank you.
Social media, like Facebook, for recruiting, but it sounds like we need to use LinkedIn a lot more.
Yeah. LinkedIn is increasingly becoming a very popular platform for businesses and nonprofits to do recruiting, to do connection, for blog posting. LinkedIn is increasingly a popular platform. Well, here's the point of that video, okay? And it sort of sets us a stage for today, all right? And that is, I think we all know that digital media have revolutionized how we communicate, okay? There's no question about that. We must be on social media, and we know that, okay? We know that it's important. That video just underscores that importance, okay? And I think also that nonprofits, you all have an advantage. You have an edge when it comes to all of the noise that's out there on social media. You have an advantage. And that advantage is, I think, twofold. Number one, your purpose as a nonprofit, your purpose is more than just selling a product. Okay? A lot of the noise we see in marketing on social media is ultimately trying to sell us a product, and your purpose is larger than that. It's more important than that. Okay? So I think because of that, you have an edge. All right? And then secondly, the second part of that is the story that you're telling as a nonprofit, as an agency that works in to advocate for children and families, the story that you have to tell is meaningful. People care about it. Nobody is going to be against what you're doing, by and large. I'm sure people are against the different strategies you take and all that, I'm sure. But by and large, what you all do, the story that you have to tell is meaningful, and people care about it. Okay, so you have an edge, you have an advantage when you are working with and telling your stories on social media. However, as we've already said, we recognize that we don't do this well. Now, we might do it well to a degree, but the reason that you're here in this session today, and the reason that I talk about this a lot with small businesses and with nonprofit organizations, is because largely we know that we can do better, that we do struggle with this huge task, which oftentimes has been assigned to us as an addition to everything else we do, that we have a large task ahead of us as we try to tell our stories on social media. You're not alone in this. About 80% of nonprofits report using social media. That doesn't surprise me one bit. But only about 24% of those nonprofits who say they're using it think they're using it effectively. Okay? And so you're not alone if you're part of the larger percentage of people who don't believe that they are using it effectively. And so what we're going to do in this first session today is we're going to explore some of the benefits, the value of using social media, okay? We're also going to look at the challenges that come with it, the questions maybe that we bring to the table, all right? And I'm going to talk about a few things. I want to bring you into the conversation as well, all right? And then we're going to look at maybe some possible solutions for some of the questions that we have, for some of the challenges and concerns that we have. So that's what we're going to do in this first session. Now, some benefits. Okay? Again, as I said, as a nonprofit working in the field that you are, you have an advantage because people care about your story. They care about what you're doing. All right? And I would argue that there are three major benefits to using social media. Three purposes and three benefits for using them. And then I want to hear from you all about benefits that you see that are maybe related to this or even outside of the scope of these three. But essentially, using social media can help us connect with our audiences and therefore help us raise awareness about what we're doing. We've already heard that from some people. So it can help us raise awareness about events or other things that we're doing. It can also help us raise volunteers. And then finally, and again, at the end of the day, what's perhaps the most important thing that we do is it can help us raise funds, okay? Social media, as we know, connects us with the people who care about what we're doing or maybe who don't know yet what we're doing, and it gets them involved in some way. Okay? So three sort of broad benefits that social media affords us. I've got a few pictures up here. I got them yesterday as I was thinking about this. And these are from organizations that are related to your group, I believe. I don't know about is Mount Dora here? Children's Home? Are they here? Okay, all right. And so I just pulled off three things here that represent posts in the last few days that your organizations have posted that relate to these benefits. All right. Sparrow's Promise in Searcy, which is in my neck of the woods, just right down the road from me, actually. They had an Instagram post about Red Door Tables. One of the efforts that they're promoting is this idea that in colonial America, a red door meant a place of safety. And so they have red door tables that they've created, and they're using red door tables as part of their Child Safety Center, other places around Arkansas where advocates for children are working, and they install these red doors as tables, showing again that this is a place of safety, a place of warmth and comfort and love. And so they installed some of those red door tables at their new facility in Searcy that they just opened. And so they posted about that had a link to Red Door Tables there, had connected with them. Red Door Tables has its own Instagram account, so they connected to it. So they're raising awareness, okay, raising awareness about their new facility. They're raising awareness about Red Door Tables, which they are connected to. CFS, of course, I grew up in St. Louis. I'm a big Cardinals fan. I saw that. I had to use it as an example. Okay. But they are having a night at the ballpark. I imagine that the night at the ballpark is an effort to raise some awareness, but also to raise some funds, I would imagine. Okay. And so we're raising funds. We're holding events that will help us raise funds. So we're posting about that. And then Mount Dora Children's Home, sort of highlighting their volunteers. Thanks to Nancy Harper, who made personalized pillowcases for the single-parent children. Nancy and her husband, Walt, were among the 30 sojourners on campus these past 2 weeks. The Harpers are from Abilene, Texas. We appreciate you, Nancy. And a couple pictures there of Nancy and some quilts that she made. Okay, thanking our donors, recognizing our volunteers, people who are invested in what we're doing. So the benefits, of course, quite simply, are that we connect with our people. We connect with those who care about what we're doing. We can raise awareness, we can raise funds, and we can raise volunteers, all right? Now, I want to hear from you all. Okay, those are some broad ideas. What are some of the advantages, the benefits that you have seen from using your social media accounts? What are some advantages that you're seeing, the benefits that you're gaining?
You get a lot of people look at your stuff for free, basically.
Okay.
So you get a lot of bang for your
buck there. Sure, yeah. It can be free, okay? Now, we get what we pay for, and we're going to talk about the cost and some of the costs that maybe we're experiencing and some of the costs maybe that we should be investing, okay? But yes, all right, it's largely free. It's a way for us to tell our story on platforms that are largely free, okay? Good. What else? Other benefits we're seeing, yeah.
I think for us, a lot of it is just about making our supporters feel connected.
Okay. Yeah.
Just helping them to see that their support matters and that goes towards.
Okay. One of the things social media can do is it can help us be transparent with our processes, okay, with how we're spending funds. So, you know, we provide, I would imagine, annual reports that we do or even quarterly reports that we do. We can use social media in some ways to push that out and to show people where the money that we are raising is going and the things that we're doing. So, yes, transparency. I think that's really important, okay? What else? Anything else? Any other benefits that we see from social media that we're experiencing? Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that I have a retail shop of the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That they're a part of it, exactly, okay? We bring people into our work, through social media. We can definitely do that. We can show them that this is not just something we're distant from, but we have a place in it. We have a part of it. You're part of the story. Okay, that's good. Yes, sir.
We use Facebook to push out some blog posts that we have on our website.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good, yeah. So one of the things that we can use social media to do is push people to where we want them to go. So whether it's a website or a blog, social media can help us do that, all right? And the research is very clear on this, that that works, all right? When we post engaging content, specifically images and video, okay? If your content does not contain images, video, or graphics, then people are probably not reading it. But when we post compelling posts to social media with images, video, graphics, whatever, and we're directing them somewhere else, the research is clear that people largely are going. Okay, and so that's another great opportunity for us, is to push them where we want them to go. Most people are not going to find our website on their own. But if we push them there, then they often will find it if we have compelling content that leads them there. So the benefits are in some ways obvious, okay? We're going to continue to dig down deeper with the benefits over the next two sessions. But they're fairly obvious, and so that gives us a good overview. But also the challenges are obvious, okay? The challenges are obvious. And so I threw some challenges that I, in my research and in the work that I do with groups, that I see all the time, okay? My impression is that these are sort of universal, okay? I would like to hear from you after we're done talking about these for just a moment. But the challenges, of course, are making time, okay? How do we make the time necessary to do this right? And again, I'll ask for a show of hands. How many of you are doing social media as a side job? I mean, this is just an added on to what you're already doing. Okay? Yeah, that's everybody. Is anyone doing social media full time? That is your sole job?
Well, marketing.
Okay, right. Good. So you are hired as a marketing communication professional for your organization, which is great. Okay? Which is great. But making the time to do it is a great challenge for us. And so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Some tools maybe that we can use to help us use our time more wisely. Cost, considering the cost, okay? There is a cost to doing this. There is a cost, of course, to our time, but there are also other costs involved that we might should be investing, okay? We're going to talk about that for just a moment and counting the costs. Knowing which platforms to use. Okay, just a few minutes ago while we were waiting on the video, we learned that some of you are, almost all of you are on Facebook, some of you are on Instagram, some on Twitter. We didn't go any further than that. But we're going to talk about in just a moment some of the platforms that we can use, because that's always a question and a challenge. Which one should I use? I think another challenge is how much we should post. How much is too much? How much is too little? And then also, what to post. What should we be posting exactly? All right, so we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And then I think another question, another concern that we have is, how do we grow our audience base? You know, how do we connect with more people? That's a challenge. How do we build that base up? Okay? And so we're going to talk about those here in for just a few minutes. But even before I go any further, are there other challenges that you all see or have on a daily basis that are not sort of represented up there? Challenges that you face every day with social media.
So when you're, what I don't like is that when I have planned out on Facebook and targeting, and then if I want to add Instagram, I've got to download it to my phone.
Okay.
And that way, so it just takes so much more brain power that I don't have time for. So sticking with one, you know, one play is so much easier than trying to remember to do it, get it on my phone.
Okay, so the challenge of having multiple accounts maybe and knowing, you know, having them accessible on your phone. I imagine, do you use a Buffer or Hootsuite or anything like that as a management tool? Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, which may help you. Okay? Yeah?
have two that I can think of. One is I'm one of three people that post on ours, and even though I'm typically like in charge, I don't really get a whole lot of control of the content.
Good.
And so, and maybe that's something that needs to be fixed. But also within that is the fact that, like, in my opinion, only certain information should be shared as far as, like, contact information.
Good.
It should all come in a certain way.
Yeah.
My team doesn't agree with that. And so it creates a struggle between us and our departments.
Good.
That I wish wasn't there.
Yeah.
Just over something, in essence, is kind of silly.
That's excellent. That is one that is common that I don't have up there, and that is you've got multiple people posting, and therefore you have a disjointed voice on your social media. Disjointed voice, you have multiple styles, and that's not effective. Okay, you want a unified voice. So yeah, that's really good. And we're going to mention that. Yeah.
I think another one is not everyone in your organization sees the importance of it.
Okay, absolutely.
So
yeah.
They don't want you spending a lot of your time.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they think you should be doing other things, right?
If you're on Facebook, you must be goofing off.
That's right. You're just checking up on your friends, right? You're not doing anything to help the organization, which we know, of course, is absolutely wrong.
I think ours is we don't want to exploit our children that we're trying to help.
Good.
So there's different rules, and not everybody understands that rule. And so they want to say, oh, well, let's just tell their story. Well,
yes.
You don't want to do that.
That's right.
Keep some guidelines there.
Yeah.
So.
The ethics of it in your organizations are different than other organizations. Okay? That's definitely true. The law is different for your organizations. And the law is different by state in your organizations. Am I right about that? I believe I'm right about that. So, knowing that, knowing the laws in your state about privacy issues and what you can and can't share about families or children is very important, okay? And I'm not going to get into that today, but that is of huge importance, okay? Knowing what exactly is legal and what is ethical about telling the stories of your families. There are ways to do that, of course, and we must be doing that. But we need to know what the laws are, and we need to think through the ethics of that, okay? Because that's very important in our fields. Okay, I want to talk about each one of those challenges, each one of those questions for a few minutes today, all right? The first one being making the time, all right? One of the challenges that we have and that we've all sort of related to and we've spoken about already is making the time. How do we make good use of our time when social media is oftentimes a secondary job, a side job for us? It's been added on to what we're doing. Well, there are some digital tools that can save us time, okay? And I want to throw some of those out to you and talk just very briefly about them. We're not going to demonstrate them today, but I'm going to tell you about them and then suggest that if they sound of value to you, that you investigate them. Today, the tools that are out there are so easy to use, okay? They may seem overwhelming, but they are very easy to use. Often they are drag and drop kind of things, all right? It's just finding the tools that most help you and then using them, okay? So I'm going to throw out a few that some of you may or may not be using already, all right? One for saving time is the value of using a social media management system, okay? Hootsuite is probably the most popular one out there. Who uses Hootsuite? Okay. Hootsuite is a management system that allows you to manage multiple social media accounts on one platform. You can schedule posts for each platform. So that way you don't have to go in and post every day. You could schedule the posts to post whenever you want them to. Okay. You can also look at your analytics. Look at who's seeing your posts, how many likes you're getting, what kind of response you're getting, what kind of engagement you're getting. And it does it all in one platform. And so if you had multiple social media accounts, you don't have to download every one of those social media accounts on your phone necessarily. Okay? You can do it from your desktop, for example, every day and post the material, set it up maybe once a week, and then let it go for that week. So Hootsuite and Buffer are two, probably the most popular. Hootsuite's probably the most popular. They are free to an extent. And then if you have, I can't remember how many it is, but multiple accounts, maybe five or more, and you want other additional resources within those systems, then you can pay a monthly charge and get additional benefits, okay? I only saw a few of you raise your hand to say that you're using that. Do you use Hootsuite?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But then I do some of it for Twitter and for Instagram. But kind of like what Jody was saying, my frustration with the Instagram thing is like, even though you can post it through Hootsuite, it's very limited. So like, if you want to post multiple photos,
right? That's good. That's a great point.
And you do have to take your phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to do different things in Instagram, like, and I don't think you can do stories from Hootsuite either. But you can't do the multiple photos. You can't do the designs, you know, where you have a template for different, for one photo that has multiple photos in it. So there are some limitations, yes, to Instagram. That's definitely true. But for those of us who are using multiple accounts, a social management system that allows you to post, schedule posts, and also analyze your traffic and the engagement you're getting can be helpful. Okay, and so if you're overwhelmed with multiple accounts and posting every day, looking into one of those systems might be valuable to you. Zach?
Why not just use, I have Hootsuite, but I ended up not super liking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the easiest way is just start a post on Instagram.
Save it?
And then, well, I mean, you can, when you're posting it, if you have your accounts all linked, I can send it to Facebook and Twitter from Instagram.
Yes.
And so it ends up being, I know that's limits some of the posts, but for at least the posts we're doing right now,
right,
that's the easiest way to get it to all three.
Sure. If your goal, and I'm not saying this is a good goal, but if your goal is to post the same content to various social media accounts, then yes, you can do that. We all know, well, those of us who use Instagram would know that when you post to Instagram, there's the option of sending it also to your Facebook account, okay? That can be valuable unless we're trying to do different things on the different sites, okay? And so if you're using Facebook for, longer videos and you're using Instagram for just photos and maybe the shorter videos, you've got various content that's going on both, that would not be a useful tool. Right. That wouldn't be a useful tool. That's where something like a Buffer or Hootsuite could be helpful. Okay?
And then when you do create a post on Facebook, the comments go to Instagram. Is that true?
Say that again?
When you boost your post on Facebook, it'll show up on Instagram?
I believe that is true, yes.
I have no idea what's going on. Something just happens, and I'm like, oh, thank you.
Okay, well, that's what we don't want to happen. All right? That's what we don't want to happen. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's why it's connected. That's why Instagram, you can post to Facebook as well, because it's all the same ownership. Okay? So yes, there are a lot of tools that Facebook has offered over the years that Instagram is now offering also for nonprofits specifically. For example, probably some of you on Facebook are using the fundraising tools that are available in Facebook. Instagram has not had that, but they are coming out with a fundraising tool for stories, okay, specifically just a little sticker, so that if you're using an Instagram story, you could click on that and be taken to a fundraising opportunity, okay? So Facebook has worked with nonprofits for a long time, 6 or 7 years, done some really helpful things that help boost nonprofits that you can take advantage of. I'm sure many of you are, including the fundraising feature in Facebook. Instagram is now getting that as well. Again, one of the reasons for that, Facebook owns Instagram, and they're trying to do some of the similar things. So those digital management tools like Hootsuite and Buffer can be very helpful to you if you're managing multiple media accounts and you're trying to do different things on each one, okay? So I would encourage you to look into that because it also helps you analyze your metrics, all right? Three others that I would mention that are unrelated to the management system are more content production tools, okay? Canva. Canva is basically a graphic design site. You can get thousands and thousands of templates for posters, for social media posts, for infographics. They've got photos on there, stock photos that you can use. I don't think Canva has video. I think that's I don't think they have video. Fonts, okay? Any kind of design that you want to do, I would recommend looking at Canva or something related, okay? Canva's a great site for that, to create a post, a beautiful post, using a template, a design, or a poster, using fonts that they offer you, and you can just create it right there and then post it to social media. A lot of the really professional-looking posts that you see from small businesses or nonprofits are created in something like Canva. People aren't just doing that freehand on their own. I mean, some are, I guess. But most people are using something like Canva. Okay, so I would recommend looking into that for creating some beautiful posts. Okay, I would also recommend the same for Unsplash, which is a stock photo service which provides you with just hundreds of thousands of beautiful stock photos that might be helpful to you in your footage or in your promotion as you put together posts. Animoto is another one, and it is video. It will create videos for you. If you insert photos, if you insert some of your own video, or it's also got stock video and photos as well that nonprofits use all the time, that might be helpful to you as well, okay? And it creates a video for you. It's drag and drop, and then you just publish it, okay? So three sort of content creation tools that might be helpful for you, because I know that sometimes we sit down, we have an event to promote, and we've got to design a post, and we think we're lost at it, okay? And so some of these tools will help us perhaps build some of those designs that could be nice for you. Google Trends is another tool that I think is sometimes helpful. Google Trends is from Google, and it just shows you very easily. It's free. These other ones I've mentioned also have free versions, and you can pay for more. That's how things work. But Google Trends is free. Google Trends, you can look at what are people searching for, and you can look at it specifically in your area. You can look at it by industry. You can see when are people most looking and searching for things related to what we do, child advocacy or child abuse. And you can see when, maybe months of the year or times of the day or whatever, when people are searching for things related to you. And that can be a very helpful tool when we think about what to post and when to post, okay? And then, of course, there are native analytics in all of our in the largest social media platforms that I would really encourage you to look at. Facebook has analytics that show you about who's looking and what they're doing. So does Twitter. So does Instagram. So analytics, looking at our metrics, knowing how we're engaging people is very important. And when I think about time, when I think about the time that it takes to do this right, I would argue that you should divide your time between three different areas of social media work. Number one is the one we always think about, and that is creating content, okay? And that is certainly true, creating and posting content. I would also say that you need to divide your time among two other areas, one being engaging other people on social media, okay? And I know that just adds more to what you have to do, but I think that's very important. Social media is a conversation. It is not just a one-sided you telling people what you want them to know. So if you're engaging other organizations, other nonprofits, other people who are doing work similar to you or who are supporting you in some way, and you're engaging them, that's very, very valuable. Number one, it keeps a conversation going. But number two, it gets your name out there in other areas, and other people can connect with you. Okay? When you connect with other people and you mention them in conversations, it just gets your name out there even further. It extends to their networks. Okay? And that can be very valuable. And then the third area that I would say is looking into your analytics. By the end of the third session, you're going to have, I hope, a plan in place. Okay? Either a plan for the first time or a strengthened plan. We will never know how effective we're being reaching our social media goals if we don't look at the measurements, okay? And I think oftentimes that's something that we don't take time to do. And so looking at the metrics, the measurements, diving into those, whether it's the native metrics that are offered through the social media platforms, which are free and easy to look at, or whether you use a third-party system, maybe Google Analytics to look at your traffic and to look at your engagement. But looking at what's being successful, what are we doing that's successful, and what's not, okay? That's important. So I would argue that we need to divide our time between those three areas as we work in social media. All right, so that's one of the first concerns. A second concern is the cost. Okay, there is a cost in time, of course, but there may be some other costs involved that we should think about, all right, and that you can take back to your directors, or if you're the director, then something for you to think about, or something to take to your board as you think about budgeting. The Small Business Association, Small Business Administration in the United States, says that 5% to 15% of an organization or a business's budget should be dedicated to marketing. Most people who deal with marketing today will tell you that 50% of that budget should be dedicated to digital marketing. Okay? Now, print, the traditional ways of marketing, that's not dead. Direct mail is not dead. Okay? The magazines we produce, that's not dead. Okay, those are very real and very helpful tools. But when it comes to budgeting, if you're budgeting as much as 15% of your annual budget to marketing, at least 50% of that, most people in our fields would argue, should go to digital marketing. All right. So what would that pay for? Well, it would pay for things like the tools that we mentioned, maybe the monthly fees that we that come with some of those tools. Maybe it would pay for a part-time staff person. Okay, you know, I work with college students in media and communication. All of them are required to do internships before they graduate. I will give you one guess as to what 98% of them do at least part-time in their internships. What do you think it is? Well, it is nonprofit a lot, but it's social media, okay? That's what everybody wants and everybody needs. So there is some value in that, in having these 20-year-olds go to these organizations and help them with social media. The assumption is that, well, these guys have been on social media their whole life. They know everything. That's not true. Number one, there's a very big difference in posting personally to social media and using it as a business or the voice of an organization. So you may do that. You may have interns. You may have students who come in that you pay to do it. I think that's great. I think also, though, that some of the information that you're getting here today and that you're thinking about, we need to pass on to those people, okay? Because there is a difference in posting professionally versus posting personally. So that's all I really want to say about that, okay? But that budgeting is important and that there is value in investing in this, okay? So whether it's platform services, whether it's personnel, are we investing money into this? Because the return on investment with social media is high, okay? Fundraising goals can be reached, for example, through a social media campaign. But we've got to invest the time and the resources into such campaigns. So I throw those numbers out to you as a consideration as you think about considering the costs. Knowing what platforms to use, that's another big concern that I think a lot of us have. You know, what should we be using? We did the big three. The top three social media platforms that people are using today are Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. YouTube also should be in there. YouTube is actually the second largest in terms of users, Facebook being the first. I think I've got it up here. Yeah, 2.3 billion users of Facebook. YouTube, not too far behind at 1.9 billion users, and that's by month. And then Instagram at 1 billion users, and then Twitter at 321 million users. So one of the questions that came up, or comment that came up in here a little bit ago, is knowing where our audiences are, okay? And I think we know that the majority of the population is on Facebook, okay? 231 billion users on Facebook. We get that. I think we also know that that Facebook platform is skewing older, okay? The fastest growing population on Facebook is the over 50 female women. They're the ones joining Facebook the fastest. Who's leaving Facebook the fastest? Yeah, the younger generation, okay? But nonetheless, Facebook is still king, all right? It is still where most people are. 81% of 18 to 29-year-olds are there, 78% of 30 to 49-year-olds, and 65% of 50 to 64-year-olds. So still king, still where most of our people are, all right? You'll see that that skews younger as we move to the right on this screen here. Instagram, for example, only 10% of 65 and over are on that. Only 21% of 50 to 64-year-olds. So as we think about the demographics related to the different social media platforms, we think about our audiences, okay? Who are we going after? What type of content should we be using to reach these audiences, okay? So I put those up there for you to kind of think about and which platforms you want to use. Does anyone use anything other than these four? Okay. Those of you using Twitter, there were two or three of you who said you use Twitter. I'm curious, how are you using Twitter?
I just post what I post on Facebook.
Okay, so what's on Facebook is also on Twitter, okay?
I post similar, but we do a digital newsletter, so I post a week on there and then hashtag a bunch of it.
Okay, yeah, good. Okay, good. Twitter, of course, is sort of a news site. It's where people go for information and quick hits, so something like that is very, very valuable, okay? Posting a report like that or a newsletter is very good for Twitter, okay? So knowing which platforms to use, I would argue for you all that, you know, you might want to just stick with a couple, okay? Don't try to maybe do all four of these and Snapchat, you know? But stick to a couple. Choose a couple. Maybe Facebook, maybe Instagram. Maybe Facebook, maybe Twitter. I would argue Facebook's probably a pretty important one for this group. I think it's important for everybody, but especially this group. So I would argue that probably choosing two would be enough if you're sort of thinking about, do I want to branch out? Do we want to do more things? Do we want to do less? I would argue two might be good for you all. And then also knowing how much to post is a question. And I wanted to throw these out there. I think some of you have, you know, you've seen this kind of information before maybe, but there's a lot of research out there that tells you when the best times to post are to get the most engagement, okay? I would argue that we, as a nonprofit organization, that we need to be posting every day. I would argue that. Now, that may not be feasible, okay? But I would maybe put that out there as a goal, to think about posting something every day. And over the next session or two, we're going to talk about some ideas for what you could be posting. But these are the best times, according to researchers who investigate this. And by the way, I have a lot of these things cited, a lot of the information cited in the presentation, and I'd be happy to share them with you. But the best times to post to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are the top three are here. And I kind of find this very fascinating, when people are most likely to look at content, when they're most likely to engage content, okay? Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. are the best for reach, reaching a wide audience, and engagement on Facebook, okay? Posting at 1 p.m. on any day gets the most shares, okay? A lot of reasons why we might think that is, but I just find that fascinating, how people engage with content. Best time to post to Instagram, Mondays and Thursdays between 8 and 9 a.m. I guess we get up, we go to work, we scroll through our Instagram. Best time to post to Twitter for the most engagement, noon, 3, 5, and 6 p.m. Okay? People on their lunch hour scroll through Twitter to catch up with the news. 3 o'clock, midday, or late afternoon, kind of lazy, get your coffee and scroll through Twitter. And then after work. So when you think about posting, you want to think about times that you get the most engagement. Maybe through your analytics, you can see when you're getting the most engagement. But this is what research says about these platforms generally. All right. And then I would also say for you as a goal, posting something every day could be good. We know that social media engagement, if we're not posting, if we're quiet, people won't see us. They will overlook us. So we want to be out there. We want to be posting at least something every day to engage our audiences. And then knowing what to post, okay? And I'm going to just share six things that I would say, generally speaking, and then we're going to build on these in the next two sessions. But I'm going to throw out six sort of ideas of what content you might could share, and that probably some of you are sharing. Number one, show people how you help. Okay? Show people how you're engaging in your field. And there's lots of ways that you're doing that. But show people that. Okay? Try recurring themes on social media. There are lots of examples of nonprofits and small businesses doing things like Fire Safety Friday. Okay? And every Friday, an organization will put out fire safety tips, okay? So maybe recurring themes that you might want to explore related to your fields, okay? Something you want to post maybe every Tuesday for whatever that is. But recurring themes help us. Sharing news updates. You know, the news is full of content that is related to what you're doing. And so perusing the news, seeing what's out there, and then sharing content and commenting on it, okay? Showing how this news event relates to what you do every day. Saying thanks. Several of you mentioned that, okay? We saw an example of that from Mount Dora. Saying thanks to volunteers and people who are engaged in what you're doing. Highlighting people. Posts that highlight people, the research shows, are very popular for engagement. Promoting events, we know that. And then current trends in social media. We're going to talk over the next 45 minutes. We're going to take a 15-minute break, I think, here in just a few minutes. And in the next 45 minutes, we're going to look at current trends in nonprofit social media use. And how can you tap into those trends? We're going to talk about that over the next 45 minutes. And then finally, the last thing that I want to say, another challenge that we all have, is how do we grow our audiences, okay? How do we grow our audiences? We're going to continue to build on this, but as I said, one thing that we need to be doing is sharing content from other organizations, mentioning other organizations in our posts, using hashtags that others are using. And one of the trends that I'm going to show you, I have a whole bunch of hashtags that are related to your field, okay, that I want to encourage you to use. We'll talk about that in the next 45 minutes. Put social media buttons in your emails, okay? Does your email signature have the button that goes to your social media account, okay? Make sure it's on your website so that people can access those social media accounts. I do think the most important one is the first one that I have on there. And I think that's one of the things that we don't do very well. And that is engaging other organizations, mentioning other organizations, talking to people and mentioning people who are engaged in our work. Okay? Keeping that conversation moving. When we do that, we enlarge our network. Okay? So I think that's very important. So, in conclusion for this first session, what we have seen is that there are great benefits. We know that. We've talked about some of them. You've been thinking about them. But there are great challenges as well. There are some tools and there are some ideas that maybe will help you as you think about how to do your jobs better as social media controllers, social media posters. And hopefully maybe some of the things that we talked about will help you with that. Over the next 45 minutes, we're going to look at current trends in nonprofit social media that maybe will spark some ideas for you. And we're going to start thinking about specific types of content that we want to put out there. Okay? And then the third session, we're going to build a plan. Okay? So we've got maybe just a couple minutes. Questions, comments, thoughts about anything related to what we've talked about so far today. Questions, comments, thoughts. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm a skeptic about really being able to explain.
Yeah.
Based on we haven't.
Based on you haven't, yeah.
And I've got a lot. I used to have a marketing person who no longer works for us who was convinced he could pay for a salary by just upfront 5 years of his time.
He wanted 5 years of his salary?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We'd invest in him for 5 years and then we'd get paid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, you can get a few dollars and then Facebook keeps it a long time and then you finally get it and they may not take some money. And so I really, you know, being president, it's all about money. Business,
yes, it is.
Great.
Absolutely.
Things are great, but you can't pay bills with that.
That's exactly right. That is our number one job.
So it's sort of a necessary thing to do, but how much real energy you put into it, to what, you know?
Yeah. There's a great movie line, a great movie clip where a dad and his daughter are talking, and his dad says, "You know, I'm not on Facebook." And his daughter looks at him and she says, "Are you even alive?" And that's kind of what it is, right? I mean, if we're not on Facebook, do we even exist? You know? So fundraising is the most important thing that we do. And I know that sounds, that doesn't sound right, but it is. I mean, if we're not fundraising, if we're not paying the bills, then we're not successful. Okay? So we do have to do that. That's right. In a time we don't exist. Anybody, raise your hand in here if you've had some success fundraising using social media. Okay? All right? We're going to talk about that. We're going to get some ideas from other people in the room on how we can do that. Well, sure. Right. Some success is better than no success, but yes, is it a good return on our investment? That's the question.
And I'm all ready to believe that it can be, and
yeah.
We just aren't doing it.
Good. Okay. We're going to explore that. Let's do that in the next session, and let's hear from some and success they've had. Well, last comment, and then we'll...
I was going to say, as a marketing advertising person, top of mind advertising is very important because if you don't get out there, and I think that's what you have to look at you're mostly getting people, because someone has to see you 7 times before they're going to give. So it's mostly top of mind and getting your, and just keeping it out there. And so a lot of that is just so that you're on their money for them trying to give.
And that sounds good, and the research that you just cited is good. People need to see you 7 times before they're going to engage and give money. But the ultimate question is, how do we do it? How are we raising money? Are we raising money? And if not, what do we need to do differently? And that's the bottom line. So, good. We'll take a break. 11:15, we'll come back in, and we're going to look at some trends in social media for nonprofits.